This is Fair Issues on the Mormon Faircast. This week's article is entitled Book of Mormon in Ancient Setting, Not 19th Century Work, by Michael Ash, read by Stephen Desley Jr. This and other articles by Michael Ash can be found at DeseretNews.com. This article was used by permission of the author and the Deseret News. As we continue our discussion about the Book of Mormon text, it might be good to point out again how this relates to the original theme of this series, maintaining a testimony when challenged by anti-LDS accusations. As Elder Jeffrey R. Holland has said, "Those who leave the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints must do so by crawling over or under or around the Book of Mormon to make their exit." The critics understand the crucial role that the Book of Mormon plays as the keystone of the LDS religion, and that's why they frequently focus their efforts on trying to undermine it by claiming it was produced in the 19th century rather than in the ancient Americas. If we try to understand the Book of Mormon as a real ancient document, written by real ancient people who lived and thought just like other ancient people and interacted with their environment and recorded their doings in ways that are similar to other ancient people, then the arguments of the critics lose any power they might have had. In fact, when we analyze the Book of Mormon through a lens that assumes an ancient Mesoamerica production culture, details in the book make more sense than if we assume a modern production culture. More on this in later episodes. One important thing to understand about language, as mentioned in previous episodes, is it is ambiguous. The meaning of any text is dependent on the culture from which it was derived, both in place and time. Some words even have multiple meanings within the same language. One Hebrew word, for instance, can be translated as ram, deer, ibex, or mountain goat, depending on the ecological zone and dialectic of those using the word. Likewise, another Hebrew word for horse can also mean horseman, as in a rider, depending on the context. The Hebrew word frequently translated as thousand can also be translated as family, clan, fighting unit, or other small groups that would be composed of far fewer than 1,000 people. Our word century comes from a root that means 100, and a Roman centurion was commander of a century, presumably 100 soldiers. In reality, however, the century consisted of 50 to 80 soldiers. Likewise, we know that the Aztecs rounded the numbers of their troops to specific figures that probably overstated the actual numbers. When the Old Testament refers to Israel as the land of milk and honey, most scholars assumed that honey referred to the nectar of dates and figs because there was no evidence of honeybee cultivation from ancient Israel. That changed in 2008 with archaeological discoveries of honey cultivation in ancient Israel. The fact is, however, that scholars had no problem interpreting Old Testament honey as something other than actual bee honey. This is an important thing to remember when we get around to talking about the various plants and animals mentioned in the Book of Mormon. Context is another key factor in understanding ancient texts. We need to be careful that we don't try to impose our values on past generations. They did not see things like we do today. Virtually all ancient societies, for instance, were to some degree racist and chauvinistic by our modern standards. Among the ancient Egyptians, for example, anyone of non-Egyptian skin color was either ghostly white or beastly dark. Racism was not always limited to the color of one's skin. To ancient Arabs, blue eyes were seen as satanic. To the civilized Greeks, everyone else, including the highly civilized Persians, were barbarians because they spoke gibberish. Bar, 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 hence the term barbarian. Is it realistic to believe that real Book of Mormon people would not also have been, to at least some degree, chauvinistic or racist by today's standards? Finally, we need to remember that the biggest part of our Book of Mormon was edited by the prophet Mormon in the mid to late 4th century. Mormon had the advantage of writing with hindsight, having seen the outcomes of the actions of previous Nephites. If we follow the methodology of biblical scholars who understand how the Bible was edited by later generations, it makes sense that Mormon, writing from a time that was far removed from the earlier Nephites, would have selected those historical events that were applicable to his message and would have formulated them in a way that conveyed his message. Mormon, like any ancient historian, would have been more concerned about the message than a technically accurate history. Stay tuned for more Book of Mormon analysis in the next issue. If you like this podcast, you can help promote it by subscribing to it in iTunes and by rating it and writing a review. Post a link on your blog and Facebook page and tell your friends about us. Questions or comments about this episode can be sent to podcast@fairlds.org or join the conversation at fairblog.org. Michael R. Ashe is the author of the book Shaken Faith Syndrome, Strengthening One's Testimony in the Face of Criticism and Doubt, as well as the book Of Faith and Reason, 80 Evidences Supporting the Prophet Joseph Smith. Both books are available for purchase online through the Fair Bookstore. Music for this episode was provided courtesy of Lawrence Green. The opinions expressed in this podcast are not necessarily the views of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or of Fair.